my brothers and sisters in the wonderful, lovely name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every other name, Yeshua, Yahushua, God's salvation. I greet you in His name, the name by which you and I were called according to His purpose. Yes, I am in route as I go to and fro, as the Spirit of God would take me to and fro. And it's all part of the journey. And I'm just grateful for the way that God moves us. You know, we are wind people. We are John chapter 3 people. I've got something I want to talk about today, but I got to say this one real quick. John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus, asked him, about being born again and all of that. And Jesus said, in verse 5, chapter 3, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou canst hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell, but thou canst, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So people see the effects of the wind, but they can't tell where it's coming from and where it's going to go, because the Spirit of God leads us and guides us into all truth, to and fro, in the earth, in everything that we do. And so the world and the controllers that would seek to want to control you, seek to have you go left, have you go right. When they say go left, go right, we don't. We go where the Spirit of God leads and guides us, showing them continuously that they do not have control, and that we have His provision, His leadership, His guiding, as He feeds the birds and takes care of them. He feeds and takes care of us. And in that process, we prove to them that there is another way, and that they've sold out to a stupid system that devours its own as time goes on, because it doesn't have... It's based... See, the thing with the world is that the world system, the world can't create anything. The world can only take that which God has made and twist it and turn it to try to make a distortion. And the only way that they have any power is if people give it to them. If people choose not to buy into the lie, the world has no power. The prince of the power of this world was defeated at the cross. And so since that time, the best thing that he can do is just to seek to continue to lie, steal, kill, destroy. But he does that through deception of the mind and deception of the soul for the people of God. So if people fall for the lie, they never live within their rightful place while they're here in the earth. So that's why you are so bombarded on every side, on the screens that you may watch, in the relationships around you from those that are part of that side. That's why all of that works so hard against your mind and against your thoughts, because if it can convince you that you're not who God said you are, then it has you during your time here in the earth living far below what God intended for you while you're here. So this is why, we have to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. Because the mind of Christ, when you have the mind of Christ and God's Spirit is leading and guiding you into all truth, as you understand what the Spirit is saying to you and who you are, and you begin to move in that, that's what the world is afraid of. Because if you start to become what you truly are, from an eternal perspective. They can't hold you. The shackles have already been taken off your feet when you've come in Christ, but now you can and you have the power to walk out of their system, to walk out of their control. And when you do that, you destroy and wreck the whole thing, and they're very, very, very afraid of that, and afraid of what that means to them. So, it's just an encouragement quickly for some of you guys out there that, the Spirit of God is leading you, is prompting you to go a particular direction. You know what? If you have that assurance in your heart that it's Him, go for it. You know, you gotta listen, and you gotta listen to Him. And once you get into a little bit of a rhythm with this, and you get a bit of familiarity with the way the Spirit of God works with you, you can take an assurance in that. excuse me. So, I was having a good talk recently with a wonderful sister in Christ, a longtime friend, and we were talking about she was talking to me some about her frustrations with quote unquote church. And you know, in the process of our discussion, I realized that, you know what, this is something that needs to be clarified, because there is big C church which is the Church of the Living God, and then there is church little c church. This is the way that I'm calling it. So, coining this right now, you guys follow me with this, because if you can understand the difference, you can understand the truth between what is the lie of the enemy and what is also God's intended plan and purpose in the earth with His people. okay. You see, oftentimes what the enemy does is he will work to take over language. He will work to take over, he works to take something that God creates, something that God puts in place. He works to try to co-opt that, to try to bring that under his purview, because he's a squatter. He's not an owner. And so, you know, he tries to do the same thing with language, with words. So when God says the word love, and God is love, and God knows what love is, God is love, and you don't know love unless you know Him, unless you know God, Lucifer comes and tries to take the word love and put his own twist and spin on it. And when the world says they love, it's something completely different. It's a twisted distortion of what true love is. And those that have come to the end of a life of love in the world versus a life of love through the Spirit of God know the difference. Love in the world and the world system is empty, shallow, leaves people broken and on the side of the road destitute, whereas love in the Spirit of God gets sweeter and sweeter each and every day that passes. Likewise, when the world refers to Jesus, they're referring to something else. There's a different Jesus that they serve. The Matthew 7 people that say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name? They refer to a different Jesus. Because obviously, they don't know Him. Because Jesus Himself, the true Jesus, says, look, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I do not know you. But they try to take the word Jesus and put their own spin on it, but it's not true. It's a false, it's a distortion. Same thing with the word church. See, the word church is Christ's word. He coined the word. He put the word out there. And when He put the word out there, it meant something to Him. Versus what the world worked since that time and is working to this very day to twist and to distort that which God put in place and that which God intended, so that it can work out its purposes, continuing to build its own world system. Okay? So, when I refer to Big C is God's church, capital C. Little C is the world system, lowercase church, the demonic deception, and I'm going to clarify what these two are as we talk a little bit today, so that you can tell the difference, so that you now, and I'm going to try to post some notes on this as well, so that you can forward it to anybody you want, and you know what, let them get pissed off at us, because we don't care. So anyways, alright, Big C and Little C. Alright, so there are 79 counts of the word church in Scripture, that word. Now, church is a New Testament word. You don't see that necessarily in the Old Testament. It's linked with the rock in the book of Daniel that came and smashed the idol and filled the whole earth, and we'll clarify how that happens a little bit later. And it's, but ultimately, the true church, Big C, is built on the foundation of who Jesus is. He is the cornerstone and the foundation. All right? Okay. Let's see. Go to Matthew 16. Here. Matthew 16. Let me get there myself. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Oh, actually, no. Go back to verse 15. He saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, verse 17, and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, because he was in the middle of a process, and he was in the middle of working out certain things prior to going to the cross. Okay. Now, okay, we talked about this one some time back. Thou art Peter. When Jesus said this to him, in fact, I think this would be probably in the band audios. I'm wondering if it's under the title, The Whore and Her Daughters. And there's a whole set of notes on that one as well. So you can check that one out when you have the time. But basically, when he said, thou art Peter, the word Peter in the Greek is Petros, which is a piece of rock. So you're a little rock. So when he looks at Peter and he says, look, you're a little rock. Then, now, the punctuation and all that kind of stuff in Greek is different. But here, you know, so when people read this through, they go, oh, he says that thou art Peter. And then they jump straight into that. The whole Catholic Church is built on this. It says, and upon this rock will I build my church. Okay. When he says, upon this rock, the word rock that he used is not Petros, Peter, little rock, but he says, upon this rock, Petra. Petra is a massive rock, the big rock. What is the big rock? He says to Peter, you are a little rock. He says, but upon this rock, what rock? Well, the rock is back in verse 16. Verse 16 where he said, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is the big rock on which the church of the living God is built. That is the foundation, the revelation of who Christ Jesus is, the reality of who he is. That is the foundation of the church, big C, of the living God. Not little rock, not little P, not little Petros. In fact, little Petros didn't even make it. He wasn't even stable enough to not deny Christ three times when he was put under the gun. He didn't even make it. There was no continuity with him. So, okay. Jesus said, I will build my church. Church is ecclesia. Ecclesia means called out ones. Now, I usually don't go into this kind of stuff or talk Greek or whatever. I do not profess to be, you know, expert at that at all. I did study a little bit of it, but I want to make a few points here. Because, church is ecclesia, called out ones. What are they called out from? And where are they called out? See, in the big C, upon this rock, the revelation of who Christ Jesus is, I will build my called out ones. Upon the revelation of who Christ is, he will build those who are called out of this world and this world system. Can I get an amen? Yes, okay. Messiah is Christ, the Anointed One, the Savior of the world. All right, so let me, I kind of was playing with this a little bit as I was looking at it. Thou art Jesus. Thou art the Christ, Christos. You're the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. Living is live and quick. God, Theos, the Supreme Deity. So basically, you're it. And he's the foundation of the Church of the Living God under the New Covenant in the earth. So, for the people that have heard and responded to the call, when God calls and they respond and they are called out from the world and the world system, that is his church. It's an individual calling. It's not a group calling. You're not born into the church. In John chapter 10 verse 3, he says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Every occurrence, he is talking to his individual. As far as the calling that goes, God calls to his people. You hear his voice yourself. And when you stand before God at the end of your life, you will stand before God yourself as an individual, not as a group. Church is not a group. Church is not a collective. Church is an individual responding to that then is grafted into his body, in which he is the head. And he moves each part as he will. Each part does the work that God calls it to, as the Spirit of God leads and guides it. It is not a group think, group consensus. It is the Spirit of God led, understood, directed life. Okay. The emphasis is placed on the individual. You and I have the ability to accept or to reject light and truth. See, that's part of us being formed and fashioned in the image of God. If you choose your free will to accept Him for who He is, the revelation of who Christ Jesus is, to bow your knee before the King of Kings, and to receive His lordship in your life, then you have life. You receive the gift of forgiveness in Christ Jesus for the propitiation for your sins, the substitution sacrifice for your sins, and the sins of the whole world. You now have that. You receive that gift that He gave you. You've got it. You can move on in it. Or if you choose to reject light and truth, and to bow your knee to the world and the world system, and seek your provision and your protection from that system, then you now get strong delusion. You now get that system and all that that system is, and you now get the eternal ramifications of missing it. You miss the boat, you miss Him, and there is no second round. So, now, let me read you this one here. So, Psalm 95, verse 7 says, He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, where your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and I said, It is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. So the people that that harden their heart to His voice, that harden their heart to bowing their knee before the King of Kings, these ones never enter His rest. They never have inner peace. They never have resolution. They just go from one to the next in this world system, just biting and devouring each other, serving their lusts, serving that evil, corrupt system to the day that they die. And then they go to hell. Whereas God's people are the ones that hear His voice, respond, bow their knee. They then are called out. See, God calls His people out. We're born into, because of the flesh, because of the fall, all of that stuff, bondage, slavery, sin, world system, corruption due to the fall. Alright, there's a point where God calls, and the chosen respond. You respond, I respond, to the voice of the Spirit of God. God calls us then out of the world system. This is big C now. Big C. True church. Calls us out of the world system and into the wilderness, where He burns the world out of you. Burns the world out of me. Brings you and I to an end of ourselves. And so that process is a death to self and a death to the world system. At that place, you won't do what the world system says. You'll only do what God says. Then, in the wilderness, then God chooses to send those who are His into the world where they are in it, but not of it. See, this is where God gives you your assignment. And you don't say in yourself, okay, I am going to be a CEO. Or I'm going to be a rock star. Or I'm going to be a this, or I'm going to be a that. No, you bow your knee before the King of Kings. He takes you into the wilderness. He burns the world out of you. And in that process, once he has now refined you in his fire and done with you as he needs to, then he says, okay, now here's what I'm going to do with this life. And you take the assignment that the Spirit of God gives you with grateful heart, because ultimately it is the place of abundant life as well, because he knows in the end what will satisfy you. He knows in the end what will bring you peace and joy. He knows in the end what is going to be the maximum life, and he wants to give that to you, but it comes on his terms. So on the surface, if you look with the natural eyes, you wouldn't be able to understand this, because you see two people that are CEOs of a company. Well, one is God's, sent there by him, put in that position to do his will, plan, and purpose. And the other one is somebody who's trying to serve the world and the world system and to climb the corporate ladder and to be all that he can be in the world system. And he's dead. He serves the wrong master. But in the natural, if you can't, you can't look at it with the natural eyes, because the guy that is part of the true church of the living God, if God told him, quit that job as a CEO and now I want you to go get on a boat and go to Africa or China or Greenland, he goes. The guy that is serving the world system, he doesn't go. He stays. Out of fear, out of serving another master. In John chapter 17, verse 15, Jesus said, I pray that thou shouldst not take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So Jesus prayed for his disciples that they would be kept from the evil. But God sends us, just as Jesus was sent, into the world, in it but not of it. And his true church is in the world but not of the world. The wheat and the tares grow together. Let me just read this scripture out of Mark. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2 says, unto the church of God which is in Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so the church of God, the ecclesia, the called out ones, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So there you are again. You're in him. In him you live and move and have your being. And in him, when you remain in him and his words remain in you, and you present your body as a living sacrifice, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. As you continue to go down that path, it's the process of becoming that vessel that God would have for you to be in the earth, so you can have the maximum flow of God in and through your life. Called to be saints. With all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, God's power that works on our behalf, and peace, that inner serenity amidst external turmoil. So God's power that works on our behalf, and that stillness inside amidst whatever storm you may face, from God our Father. These are gifts of God and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So the true church of the living God, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is among them. The true church of the living God. You know, in the early days, the big C, big church, there was no building. There was no structure. They met wherever the Spirit of God allowed them to meet. They walked to and fro. They met in houses, in homes, in the marketplace, in the synagogue. Didn't preclude that, but Jesus even said, look, a time's going to come when they kick you, when they put you out of the synagogue. So it didn't have to do with the building. If they were put out of the synagogue, well, God's with the people, not with the building. Okay. His people, led by His Spirit, built on the foundation of who Christ Jesus is. Part of that rock. You know that vision in Daniel, the little rock that was carved out of hands that came and smashed that representation of the world and the world system, grew and filled the whole earth, blew that other thing away completely, grew and filled the whole earth, and that is His church. That is the church of the living God. Now, contrast that to little c. Little c, lowercase c. Okay, lowercase c, lowercase church. What is lowercase c, lowercase church? Alright, what did I, when I was in the airport, what did I write there? Lowercase c, a demonic plot carried out over generations to attempt to thwart the truth, sideline the gospel, confused the called ones, and compromise the leadership in the body of Christ. Okay, so little c, I'll say it again, is a demonic plot carried out over generations to attempt to thwart the truth, sideline the gospel, confuse the called out ones, the ecclesia, and compromise the leadership in the body of Christ. And ultimately, if it's anything that comes from the devil, the thief cometh not but for to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. So it is something that robs, steals, kills, and destroys in the earth. Okay. Satan counterfeits the real thing. now there's a series inside of Faith Mix, you can go back and check this one, but it's called The World. And one thing that we did when we discussed that was, if you can understand the body of the beast, when you start seeing the different heads as they pop up, it's still all the heads connected to the same monster. It still has the same markings. So, little c has the same markings as everything else in the world system, because it's a similar spirit behind it. So it has hierarchy. It has lording over others. It has man and human personalities that are set up as saviors. It has your rules and rituals and man-made systems of control. It has groupthink given by a man and not led by the Spirit of God directly. See, when God calls somebody out, what the world system does and what little c works to do is to pull them back in ASAP. They work very, very hard to keep that person called out by God from going into the wilderness with Him. And if they can't get them to keep them from going into the wilderness with Him, then they work to bring everything in the wilderness to get them to turn back in their hearts to want to go back to Egypt. So this is the parable of the sower. The one where Satan comes quickly, snatches it away. Then the one where after a little bit of persecution and they wilt. The one where, you know, the rewards, riches, pleasures of this life choke it, make it unfruitful. All tactics of that world system, little c. But to him who overcomes, the ecclesia, the called out ones, to him that overcomes, you have to overcome little c. You have to overcome that satanic deception to be a true follower of Christ. I'll say that one again. You have to overcome that satanic deception in order to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. So, now I wonder how many friends I lost over that. Okay, well, you probably weren't my friends anyways. It is, alright. So, the ecclesia are overcomers, called to overcome. Now, how do you overcome? Well, you continue to hold on to him. If you remain in him and his words remain in you, he overcame the world. You overcome by remaining in him. You overcome by your foundation being in who he is, not in who you try to be, not in your best efforts. You give it up to him, not in trusting man. Look, I do not want anybody following me, okay? I am not trying to build a following with this thing. This right now, what you are listening to here. Listen. We had this URL, we had this website for 3 years before God allowed us to put anything on it. First he told us to book it, and then after that, we weren't allowed to put anything up for 3 years. And then once he finally allowed us to start, you know what we do? We just, as he gives us something, we put it out there. In obedience to him. In obedience to what the Spirit of God gives us. And that's it. That's the close of it for us. The results are in his hands. The results are whatever the Spirit of God would choose to do with it. Wherever it is that he would take this, whatever he would use it for, that's his call. And as long as it remains up there, that's what it is. As soon as this thing's got to go, it's gone. Look, if this thing got pulled tomorrow, we would not lose one night of sleep over it. I would not lose any sleep over it. Why? Because I have no ownership. For me, you just move on with what the Spirit of God has for you to do. So right now, it's a window of time where we can get certain things out, where the Spirit of God would have certain things to be said. We put them out there. We bless you in Jesus' name. We seek to freely give as the Spirit of God has freely given us. We bless those that God has put it on their heart to support, you know, through prayer, through chipping in, through, you know, bless you guys. God bless you. In fact, you know, he is. The ones that are part of this, you know, in different ways, you know that God is blessing you. But you know what? For us, really, this is just God says we do. Now, if you are going, for the people that he's called, you are called to overcome. And you have to overcome the deception. You have to overcome the mind control involved with little c. Now, here's something I want to say, though. I do want to put this out there. There are some little c's that are within the big C. There are some little churches that are, because they've been done in connection with the Spirit of God, his leading, his guiding, they are part of the big church. His church, the true church. But there are many, many, many little C's that have done them in allegiance and an alliance with the enemy of our souls, with satanic workers that are not done by the Spirit of God, that are traps to enslave, people. And those are not part of his true church. But you cannot determine that on a natural level. You cannot go by what your eyes see. It is something where the Spirit of God will bear witness to you and say, this is one of mine and this is not. And you have to have the courage to call it out like it is. Okay. Part of little C is you have to have the boldness to walk out despite every obstacle that's placed in your way by the world, including that. You know, Jesus had that. Jesus had that when they said, who does this guy think he is? You're not yet 50 years old. And you know, you're talking about Moses, you're talking about, not Moses, Abraham. And Jesus said, before the world was, I am. You know, they had a problem with, the system of his day had a problem with him. Because they locked and barred and kept people away that would enter the kingdom. They themselves entered not in, and they sought to block the way of anybody else that would. But you know what? God allows it. You know why? Because it's also a test for his people. It is a test for his bride. How badly does she want to be with him? Does she love the truth to the point that she will go without, that she will let go of every other option that is possibly there to her, the comfort, the safety, the security that the world system offers to her, and will she go out into the wilderness with no safety net just because it's the voice of the bridegroom and she loves him with all her heart? Because you know what? That's who Jesus wants to be with. He doesn't want to be with the fair weather fans. He doesn't want to be with... God's not into quantity. He wants quality above all. He values quality. He wants that which is real. And he knows their hearts. But in that process of knowing their hearts, he uses the circumstances and situations to reveal your heart to you. To show you where you're at. To show you what will you do. Do you trust him? Do you truly trust him? Or you trust him when the circumstances work in your favor? You trust him when everything is okay? You trust him when man tells you you're okay? But what happens when God tells you to do one thing and man tells you to do something else? Who do you listen to? Will you do the Daniel 3 thing like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And will you say, O King, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. And this thing, we got this one. We're not bowing to you and to your system. This is one line that we don't cross. There's one place the children of God do not go. So little C. Let's talk about little C. Okay. Little C works very hard to get people to stop short of who they've been called to be in Christ, so that they never get activated in life and in their true calling. See, this is part of Satan's plot. It's and part of the way that he destroys. He gives you programs. He gives you service. Humanitarian service. He gives you all kinds of things that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Alright, here's some markers of the little C. human personality, man approving man, seeking the approval of man and not God. The certifications of man. You know, this is why they stick up all those things on their wall, to show you that they've got something. The approval of the institutions of men, validation of each other, patting each other on the back. Again, programs, form of godliness that denies the power thereof. Surrounded by teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear. That is a hallmark of the little C. That is a hallmark of characters out there like Joel Osteen. Look, you know what? Flip it on, I flip it off. Why? There's not something there that there's something inside of me when I turn that on. I'm like, what is this? What is this? Do you, in a materialistic world where people do not listen for the Spirit of God, you know the difference? Here, kingdom people, you hear, Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. They know my voice. They won't follow the voice of another. Whereas it's the Spirit of God and tuning into what the Spirit says. Versus in the world, it's about what you can see. It's about what it looks like. How does it present itself on the external, on the shell, on the outer way? And if it looks that part, then it must be okay. Little C works to make people stop short. You know what? Personality cults. This is, they're classic personality cults. Because people say these names more than they do the name of Christ. Look, what did Paul say when he wrote? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who is Peter? Who are these guys? Except servants by which you heard the message. One man plants, another man waters, but God causes it to grow. But in their system, in the world system, no, they don't do it like that. They don't diminish those people, those personalities. No, they set them up. They put them up. They put them up on that pedestal. They have to separate that person from those that they lord it over. Because now that person is the special one. That person now is the one that's got that special link, that special connection, the special prayer that can just get through. Oh, joy. Right, yeah, okay, whatever. Look, big C, big church, capital C, is the priesthood of all believers. 1 Peter, where you are royal priesthood. You're the priesthood of all believers. Here's how it works. Big C, you have one high priest, who is Christ Jesus, priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Little C, boy, you've got plenty of people that stand between you and the Father. You've got plenty of intermediaries that all have rank and file on you if you'll join that whole thing. You don't just have Joel Osteen and Joyce Myers and whoever else standing there as your mediator between you and God, telling you what you can do to make your positive thinking work and how to fix your thing. But then past that, you've got all the little people that have their status in the hierarchy based on their service into that system. And, you know, you better get in there and work your way up if you want to be something. You've got to become part of it. Look, it replicates itself all over the world. All over the world. Why is it that people want to be the big shot? Why do you want to be the leader, huh? Why do you want to be the top of the spiritual hierarchy? Why? What are you going to do with it? What would you do with it? Look. Stop. Still yourself before the Spirit of God. Ask Him what He would have you to do. Get out of the way. Let the Spirit of God move through you, work through you. Don't allow the enemy to trick you, because he's subtle. The enemy is subtle. What he does is he takes that which God would use, and he will subtly introduce deception. Work that leaven in there, that hypocrisy in there. And people, there's a bunch of them that started out good. They really did. But as time went on, they just got seduced and they got stuck. They went for the shortcut and they got stuck. And they are under the surface of that murky water, dead. But they gotta fake it. They're faking it till they make it. They're never gonna make it. Dead, under, they fell for it. God takes His people the long way around that lake. We go the long way around. It's tempting. It is tempting. The shortcut is tempting. But if you listen to the leading of the Spirit of God, you won't go that way. Because there's death in that water. There's death in that trap. You don't want to go that way. Little C. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about little C. Focus on material and the carnal. What you can see. Here. Big, quick, now. Little C markers. Big, quick, now. Okay. This is why there's such a focus within little C. On buildings, congregation sizes, attractive programs, numbers. Oh my gosh. The push is for the numbers. Something you can count. You know what? I find it classical. Jesus in John 6, when he gives a hard message, He gave a hard message, enough that people left him. How often would you speak that truth if it meant that people left you? Would you continue to persist in it? Would you continue to say what needed to be said because the Spirit of God would lead you to do that? Or will you back down? You know that whole seeker-sensitive movement that the little C's went through? Do I need to say anything more about that? Seeker-sensitive, what is it? Jesus was not seeker-sensitive. Jesus was a hard person to be around. Why? Because he was light, incarnate, walking around on the earth, exposing things. And when he walked there and he revealed the secrets of your heart, right there to be in his presence was to have your heart and your thoughts known. people didn't want that. No, the Jesus that they wanted the little C Jesus. They want the one that does miracles when they want him to. Do us some miracles, Jesus. That's what they came and asked him. He's like, I'm not going to do miracles for you. He'd done miracles before. He'd fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000. He'd done all kinds of stuff. These guys missed those. He said, look, here's the one thing you'll get, the sign of the prophet Jonah. What is that sign? Death and resurrection. Little C looks for signs, looks for power, looks for position, wants pleasure, and wants the call of God. Position in their systems. Where God calls his people out. Takes them to an end of themselves. Strips them to nothing. And then when they come to the point where they run from the very last ability that they ever trusted in, and there's nothing left, his spirit can flow through that life unhindered. And help that person. You get the abundant life that way. When you die to yourself and to this world and to everything that this world is, the abundant life is in that. Because now the life you live is no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives in you. So, yes. Little C, teachers that tell you what you want to hear versus the Spirit of God that tells you what you need to hear, which cuts to the quick, cuts to the heart. Now, little C is a distortion of God's spiritual order as well. You know, here, I asked this question the other day. I was talking to a pastor, a real pastor, by the way. There are real pastors out there, by the way. And we were talking about this. Okay, pastors are out of place in little C. In the little C, what you have is... That is, because that is the control over the money bag, just like Judas was, that now is your gatekeeper. Oh, speaking of the money bag, here's just a little question, hypothetical. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 4, when God says, God called some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher, right? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the church, for the building up of the body. Yes, right? Okay, there's more there. is that a 20% split across the board of those five? No. If they are taking a collection, which I've got my questions. No, of course not. And it's interesting to me how God had it listed where he stuck them fourth. Now, if you would have put them fifth, they would have said, well, God said the last shall be first and the first shall be last. They would have done something like that. No, he stuck it right there, right at the end of, but not completely at the end, just sort of there. It's so distorted. So twisted. And you know what? These guys aren't happy. Because they're out of place. So they're trying to build their own little empires. Let me get as many people here as I can, put on a good show, do the best that I can. God sees my service. Look, most of you guys got to step down. Most of you guys got to go up, stand up in front of that group of people that you're leading on Sundays, tell them, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. God never called me to this. I wasn't supposed to be here. I wasn't supposed to do this. And you need to step down. Because you know what? Your soul is in the balance. God gives a stricter judgment to those that teach. And if you teach a distortion, if you teach if you teach something that is not Him, what now can you expect? You know, for me, when God called me into this, at this stage now, I willingly accept it and receive that responsibility. But early on, it was not my plan. But I accepted it as time went on because I realized this was the will of God for me, was to do this in part. This is part of it. back to Big C. Big C, True Church, capital C, every person in that receives the assignment that the Spirit of God gives them. And just like John said, a man can only receive what he's given by God. A man can only receive and can only carry out what it is that the Spirit of God has given him. So in Big C, you take the assignment that God gives you. You can't choose to be a pastor. In Big C, you can't choose to be a pastor. This is not a career choice. You can't choose to be an evangelist. You can't choose to be a prophet. You can't choose to, there's no lording over anybody else either. This is just the system in the body of Christ. Just like you have your nervous system, your skeletal system, you've got your circulatory system, you've got all your different systems that you've got going on within your body. It's one of the systems that God puts in place. But it has no lordship over everybody else. It has a specific function. But you can't choose that. I don't care how many degrees you have on the wall. I don't care how many functions you went to, how many certifications you got. When it comes to the realm of spirit, no man chooses. It's assigned by God. He assigns, He calls, because you know what? If you choose to do it, apart from Him, you do not have the grace of God necessary. You do not have the power of God necessary for that assignment. And because that gap is there, what happens is Lucifer steps in. And he uses those people because they're out of position. God never called them. They're working in disobedience to what the Spirit of God would say. And so, your best intentions aren't going to cut it. You don't mess around in the realm of spirit. God may have called you to something completely different, but you listen to man and not to Him. You know, there's some well-meaning people even in my own life. And I know they have my best interests at heart, in their own mind. But if they would advise or say certain things to me that are not counsel that comes from the Spirit, I can't listen to that. I can't listen to that. I can't go off on a track that's not Him. Okay. The teaching of the Nicolaitans is part of little C. Now, and that's something in Revelation. You might have to research that a little bit. But basically, that is conquer the laity. Us versus them. Basically, what that does is in little C, you've got a separation. Clergy versus laity. Us, them. Platform, down on the main floor. Compared to Big C. Big C, you have royal priesthood. Royal priesthood, everybody is a priest. And you have one high priest, which is Christ. Okay. Marks, again, of little c, selfishness. Little c, selfishness, self-centered, my spirituality, my life, my success, my ministry, my wife, my kids, my I. It's all about me. It's all about who I will be in the world. You know, that whole name it and claim it 80s thing, you know where it came from. You know, it's actually, it's not too far away from, you know, witchcraft techniques, which basically in rebellion to God, they seek to do things using His name, but they don't know Him. So it's a search for power, control, you know, power, control, pleasure, position, possessions. You know, typically this is why they have to mark themselves with all kinds of fancy dress. If somebody's got to wear all kinds of stuff to try to distinguish themselves within the new covenant, I just wonder why. Why, if you weren't wearing that purple shirt, would I not recognize you as a man of God? Because I don't recognize you as a man of God wearing your purple shirt. So, and your special collar, and your big robe, and your platform, and your podium with the big cross on it, and your steeple, and all the rest of your trimmings. Why you gotta overcompensate? You know, that's no different than the guy that has to get all the extras, soup up his car, his Hummers, whatever it is that he's got, all those other things that he's got to do to overcompensate for his own insecurities. You know, I find that the more that somebody has to put all of those trimmings in place, it's because the further they are from really believing that they've actually been called to do what they're doing. It's like, okay, maybe if I just get a few more people, maybe we just get over 1,000 people in this place, then we'll have achieved, because now we'll be something. Now we're a medium to large sized church, little c. Oh, here's an interesting one. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Wow. So, Satan has ministers. Okay, can we stop being nice? And can we start projecting who is a satanic minister? Can we start saying this is a minister not of God, not of truth, not serving Him, not under His direction, not under His leading and guiding? Could we call it as it is? See, here it is. If everybody's playing this game of the emperor and his clothes, the emperor's new clothes, and he's naked, and everybody's not willing to say something because the guy's got a degree on the wall from XYZ institution, look, I'll be the 12-year-old in the corner pointing it out, saying he's naked. Can we now get on with it and say, everybody come to the realization that this is not it? Broken, busted, their system doesn't work. There's nothing in there. You know, how many of you go there? Look, I'm talking to little C people now. In the perchance that some of them might be stumbled across this because somebody sent you this link. and you're already really mad, and somehow you still got to this point. Look, how many of you go there because you enjoy the worship, so you call, or the singing, and you fall asleep when the message comes on? You tune out, you sketch in your notebook as he goes through his outline, three points, and his conclusion. But you go there because you get a buzz. And you like socializing. And it's a good place to network. It's a good place to get some good business contacts, right? Oh, good place to shop for a mate. Yes, oh, of course. You know, a lot better than a bar. Okay. Look, the way you tell the difference, it's the spirit behind it. Jesus' sheep, big C, his sheep know his voice, and they will not follow another. Little C, they do not know the voice of Christ. Little C, they follow the voice of man. Now here's something too. Because they refuse to love the truth, God gives them over to a powerful delusion, so that they may believe the lie and so be damned. Those that refuse to love the truth, they get little C. And in little C, you know what you get there? You will find the workers of Pharaoh doing miracles. You will find experiences. You will find all the trimmings. The thing that you won't find Jesus. You won't find the real Christ. And you won't have peace. You won't have rest. You won't have fulfillment. You know what? In little C, you know something is not right. If you have a twinge of that desire in you that wants truth and wants to know Him, you know that something's not right. You know that you are living beneath God's plan and purpose for you. You know that you're not living the abundant life. Little C in the modern day and age is a show. That's what you're paying for. That's what you pay for every Sunday when you go there. And you sow your seed, as they would say. Or you give your love gift. Anyways. Where am I here? Alright. So, oh, here's one more for you. Little C, their loyalty, obviously, because they're part of the world system, is not to Christ. And you can see this when it comes to the press. You can see that their loyalty is to the state, to something external, to something in the world over Christ. John chapter 19 verse 15, when Jesus was in the state of going to the cross, and when those guys were offering Him up, they said, but they cried out, in verse 15, chapter 19 of John, away with Him, away with Him, crucify Him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Whoa. We have no king but Caesar. We have no king but that which is part of the world and the world system. So all of the trimmings, all of the robes, flowing tassels, everything else, but when the press comes down, when there's money, power, position on the line, they have no king but Caesar. Ah. you know, in the USA, a case in point, 501c3 status, which is a tax-exempt status, which regulates also what you can say and what can be said. If a church takes that and you allow that to compromise what you say, it compromises the leadership within. Look, if you're doing social service, fine. Take your 501c3. You're doing charity, fine. You're not saying anything, but if you're going to preach the gospel, you preach it no holds barred. You have no reservations. You don't pull back on this thing. Jesus didn't pull back on it. John the Baptist didn't pull back on it. Daniel didn't pull back on it. None of these guys pulled back on what needed to be said, including that which needed to be said to the state. Jesus called Herod a fox. John got tossed in jail for what he said. Daniel told, who was it, after Nebuchadnezzar passed him, the next guy that came along, he said, when he was, Daniel was summoned, he said, look, keep your gifts. You give them to somebody else. Give them to yourself. I don't care. He said, but here, I will tell you. I will tell you what God is saying in this situation. Yeah. You, if God has called you, okay, look, God has called you. Let me just clarify this. You say what needs to be said. You put it out there. You don't back down. We do not back down. We do not compromise the work and the truth for a tax exemption. For something that will be... Look, don't you get it? Lucifer will pay you to bow. He offers it in Luke 4 to Jesus. And all these guys, they do it for much, much less. He goes, he offers Jesus, he says, look, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And there's splendor if you just bow your knee, if you just, you know, serve me. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? Get behind thee, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Thou shalt, it is, you know what, here, let me go there real quick. Thou shalt serve the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Let me find this here. Luke chapter 4. And it says, verse 5, and the devil taking him up unto a high mountain shewed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The true church, big C, we worship the Lord our God, and him only shall we ever serve. You can't buy the big C with a tax exemption. You can buy little C's. Oh gosh, they're for sale. You can get 2-for-1 special right now. Okay. Anyways. No, I can still keep going on this, but look, summary, little c, the world is full of little c's. There is some little c's that are part of the Church of the Living God, part of big C. Few and far between, very rare. You get that occasional one that has come up where God has led them to do that work. They do it as service unto Him. He leads and guides them in it. He blesses them in it. They speak what He tells them to speak. They do what He tells them to do. They've gone through the wilderness. They love Him. They serve Him. Their life is in His hands. Those that are there, they're in a safe place. They're in a good spot. And God's sending them out over and again to do His work all over the earth. But there is no lock on this by the world system. There's no lock on it by little c. Big C, big church, capital C, built on the foundation of who Christ Jesus is. In Him you live and move and have your being. You are a priest. You are a royal priest. No man lords it over you. No man lords it over you. They will try. Oh gosh, they will try. They will try so hard to lord it over you. They will bring everything to you. They will bring guilt. They will try to sweet talk you. They will try it all. They'll try to gang stalk you. You know what? I'll use clean language. All right. Forget them. You follow Christ. You do what He tells you. Don't back down. Look, little C is full of pop psychologists. They're just trying to find a program that everybody will come to. You know the mantra of little C is come to the meeting? It's come. Come to the meeting. Jesus says go. They say come. God says go into all the world. He says, read the end of Matthew 28. That's what He instructs His people to do. Little C says, come. Come, come, come. Friday meeting, Wednesday meeting, Bible study meeting, Sunday service meeting. Just come. Doesn't matter the meeting, just come. Come to the meeting. Because why? You got to get them all together in one place where you can have the collective, and now you can track, monitor, hold those souls. And siphon off the power thereof. Use them. All are enslaved. Top to bottom. Blind leading the blind. All of them falling into a ditch. Where God calls His people out. The ecclesia are the called out ones. The Church of the Living God, big C, you are the called out ones. So be that which you were called to be in Jesus' name. Take boldness in it. God bless you. Hey, I gotta go. Love you. Praying for you. I pray right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for your people. Father, I pray against right now the illusion, the deception, the satanic trick that has been set up to deceive people. And Lord, I pray, Father, right now that your true church, the Church of the Living God, big C, would rise up strong in who they've been called to be what they were made to be. Lord, I thank you for your church, your body that's alive and well in the earth, doing that which you've called them to do. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would strengthen that which remains. Raise them up, Lord God. Give them boldness in their spirits to do that which you've called them to do, and to call that which is not for what it is. And Lord, to strengthen, Lord, one another, even as you lead and guide us to. Lord, I bless your people in Jesus' name, even as you bless all of us in Jesus' name. We love you, Father. We go on in your name, in Jesus' name. Yeshua's name. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Love you. Catch up with you soon. All right, bye. Yeah.
sucked in the blood of the suffering.